We're starting a new series today. It's called Faith's Impact. Now, faith is one of those things that's really foundational to Christianity. It's an area, it's kind of a non-negotiable area, and it's very significant. And so, you know, is faith just something that we say that we believe, or is it something that because of it, our lives are impacted? In other words, that it impacts different things in our life and what takes place. And so we're going to look at that over the next few weeks. Like I did today's message is called This. It's Why Faith Matters. And so I shared this in the first service. I really liked it. I thought it was really, really a good message. And nobody told me that on the way out, so I just had to trust, like, hey, I really liked this morning. Maybe they didn't anyway. And so, and then I know my friend Stevie Smotherman spoke last week, and I've heard what a great job he did and all that. Yeah, give him a hand, man. And well, anyway, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And so if you're still learning your way around the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Ephesians is in the New Testament. The New Testament starts with Matthew. And so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. Why does, you know, the series Faith's Impact, but why the message today is why faith matters. Why does this matter? Ephesians 2, this was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a place called Ephesus, a church that he founded. It was one of the first mega churches over, you know, I think, you know, several thousand people went there at one time. Timothy, who a letter is written to him, pastored the church. They believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, that before she passed away, that that's where she went to church. And the apostle John, who was the last living apostle, that that's where he went before he passed away. So it was a significant church. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, everybody say all of us. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So he's saying, look, man, he said, all of us have been in this place where our nature is not to do the right thing. And matter of fact, he says that we were dead. Now, he didn't mean physically dead. What he meant was spiritually dead. That before we gave our lives to Jesus, that we were spiritually dead. We were separated from God, spiritually dead. And so, you know, that there's this work that's taking place in us that God is doing in us. But before we gave our lives to Jesus, we were dead spiritually. We were dead spiritually, separated from him. And so it says that we, you know, that these are things now. And again, by no means am I implying that when you give your life to Jesus that all of a sudden you're perfect. At least I'm not. I don't know anybody else. If you discovered that you gave your life to Jesus and there's still like a lot of stuff going on in your life that you got to get better at, I mean, so that's me, right? So thank you for agreeing with me. Anyway, it says all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. It goes on to say this is, but God, everybody say, but God. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much. He loves you so much. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. In other words, he wasn't indifferent to me. He wasn't like, well, you know, that Rick's made these decisions. He's chosen that. So good luck, buddy. No, man, he gave us Jesus, and so we have the opportunity to not be dead in our sin anymore. He said he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. In other words, in generations to come, he can point at lives in here and go, their life should be an example of how gracious I am and of how much I love humanity. He goes on to say, God saved you by his grace. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So, you know, for a lot of you, some of the stuff that I'm going to say is very foundational, but I think we need to be reminded of it. And especially in the world that we live in, where there's elements of Christianity that's trying to deconstruct the things that are part of the good news. You say, what's the good news? Well, it starts with the bad news. The bad news is because of the things I've done, I deserve judgment. I do. What's the good news? That Jesus took my judgment. That's good news, right? That when I put my confidence in him and trust in him, that I no longer stand under the judgment that I deserve. And so we have to be reminded of that. You know, today we're going to have baptisms, which is a picture of people that have put their trust in him. And so it says this, again in verse 8, it said that, that God saved you by his grace when you believed. The King James says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. So one of the reasons why faith is so important, if you're taking notes, number one is this, is that faith matters because we receive God's grace by faith. In other words, God's grace is given to, is available. Well, how do I access it? How do I make it be a part of my life? It's by faith. And you say, well, Pastor Rick, make that even simpler to me, that I trust God in my life. I trust what Jesus has done and who he is. And when I trust him, when I look at him and say, hey man, I deserve to be judged. And I could think about that all day long and it would bury me in all sorts of condemnation. But I trust what Jesus did for me, that he came to earth as God in the flesh and he died on the cross where my sins were laid upon him. And he took the judgment of my sin and was placed in a tomb, but he was raised from the dead on the third day. And when I trust that Jesus is enough, then this outpouring of God's grace comes upon me. I become, in that moment, a child of God. Now, I just tell you, man, I love mercy. Don't you love mercy? Man, I've been given mercy by people, and I'm so grateful for it. I need mercy. And mercy's incredible. What mercy says is that you're not going to get what you deserve. And I love it. Can I tell you something better than mercy? It's grace. You know what grace says? Not only are you not going to get what you deserve, you're going to get what you don't deserve. Now, I will just say as much, I love mercy because I don't want what I deserve. But I really love grace because of it, you know, with just mercy, I would be forgiven. God would forgive me. But grace shows up and says, not only are you forgiven, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. You're going to become a child of God, a son or daughter of God. You're going to become a child of God and you're going to walk as a new creature in Christ just with God's presence. He's going to lead you in your life. And so we have that. And so, again, mercy is getting is where I don't get what I deserve and grace is where I get what I don't deserve. Now, I've used this as an illustration before, and for whatever reason, it's an illustration that I can identify with in some ways and it resonates with me. But imagine that you were driving at a speed that was higher than you're supposed to. As hard as it may be for some of us, let's just imagine that. And all of a sudden, you get, you know, a guy pulls up behind you with lights, he pulls you over, and he comes up to the car. And it's one of those moments that no matter how kind you are, how much you appreciate what they do, that you still get a ticket. Just imagine for just a minute. And on that ticket, it's like, you know, there's going to be a fine and there's a court date that you're supposed to go. So you go to the court and you're there in front of the judge and he looks at you. Let's say your last name's Burke. And he said, Mr. Burke, it seems like you were speeding. And you know enough not to look at him and go, that doesn't sound like me. I mean, so what you do is, you were speeding. This is what the fine normally would be. But you know what? I want to give you mercy today. And I'm like, oh man, praise God. And mercy means I'm not going to fine you. I'm going to waive your fine. I don't do this again. But I'm going to waive your fine. I'm just, you know, at that moment, I'm so grateful. That's what mercy looks like. Isn't mercy awesome? But let's say this judge doesn't operate in mercy, he operates in grace as well. And he goes, hey, not only am I going to forgive you, but I was looking at the car you drive. It's kind of a hoopty, and I'm just telling you, man, like, you need a new vehicle. I don't know how you got it going that fast. And again, your restraint says, don't say practice. You know, I mean, don't say that. And so then eventually, you know, he says, well, I want you to have a new vehicle. So you go outside, and there in the parking lot is a brand new car that he gives you. Now, I've never had that happen. But it's an illustration of what grace looks like. And not only did you not get the fine that you deserved, but you got something you didn't deserve. I mean, I'm grateful for God's mercy where he extends it to me. And even though I deserve judgment, I deserve those things, he doesn't give it to me when I put my trust in Jesus. But there's grace where it says, only am I not going to punish you like you deserve to be punished. But I'm going to make you my child. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life. I'm going to lend my word to you, and you let the Holy Spirit help you discern what it's saying there. Whenever we put our trust in Jesus and who he is and why he said he's here, why he said he came, and what took place on the cross, and the fact that he was raised from the dead, whenever we put our confidence in him, that's what faith is. It says, God, in this area, I choose to trust you. That the beautiful thing about it is that we access the grace of God. In other words, we receive God's grace, not because we get good enough, not because we've grown to a point where we're no longer blowing it, but because we trust that Jesus is who the scripture says that he is. Now, in saying that, it doesn't mean that we should just be indifferent to our sin. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Titus, it says that the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. But number one is this: faith matters because it's the way we access God's grace. That salvation that none of us deserve. But because of Jesus, it's freely given to us when we have faith or put our trust in him. In other words, if somebody were to say, why would you go to heaven? I can't look at them and go, well, I've been so good. Somebody would say, is that what your wife would say? And I would say, mind your own business. Is that what the people that really know you would say? No, man, we don't have access to the grace of God because, well, I'm finally good enough. We have access to the grace of God because Jesus did what he did, and I trust that, even on my bad days. And so number one is this, is the reason why faith matters. We receive God's grace by faith. Look at number two. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You're in Ephesians. Hebrews is a few books over. After Ephesians is Philippians, then Colossians, then 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says this: so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. So he was writing this letter to people that were under some incredible pressure, that were tempted to walk away from their faith or throw away their confidence in God, like, oh, this doesn't work. You know, it's just things have gotten harder since I became a Christian. And he said, no, he said, don't throw that away. He said, right now you need patient endurance. And I know that some of you right now, that you're in a challenge in your life. That maybe even tempted, like, maybe you thought about not coming to church today because you're mad at God or feel like he's failed you or let you down. And yet I salute you, you're still here. Well, I want to encourage you from the scripture. You need patient endurance right now. Don't throw away your confidence in God. There's reward for being confident in him. Well, that's what he's telling him. He said, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. He goes on to say, for in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. Now listen to this. And my righteous ones, in other words, people that have been made right by Jesus, you have a relationship with God, will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. So he was saying, like, when we put our trust in Jesus, that faith doesn't end there, that it begins to be a part of our everyday life. And again, when we think about faith, it just, if we're not careful, we use this word that even though it's biblical, that sometimes it can sound churchy and it's hard to apply it in my Monday world. But really one of the simplest ways to look at faith is that I choose to trust God in this moment, in this season. Now he didn't say this, and some of you really need to get this, because I it was an area I miss it in. He didn't say that faith is an event or a moment. But we're supposed to live by faith. And you say, well, what's the difference there? So like if you're in a place where you're just struggling financially and you're at the point of your lights being turned off, and if you don't get money by this time and your lights get turned off, sometimes people walk away from God because in that moment, what they wanted the outcome to be didn't take place. Well, again, your faith is not that event. That to trust God with things that tend to be sometimes beyond our control means that even when this moment isn't what I want it to be, that I still in this moment trust him, because I'm not living by this moment, I'm living by faith. Is that okay? So we have to, you know, faith is an event or a moment, and what we do, and then sometimes it just takes place that for whatever reason, today, right now, this moment, things aren't going the way that I want them to, and so some people are like, okay, I'm done. Well, no, even when you're not clear of what the outcome's going to be, still trust him with it. That's living by faith. Now, most of us know this, but just to say this, just to remind us, or for some people that may not know this, that sometimes, people say, some people have the mindset that everything that happens that God initiated, and I personally, theologically don't believe that. I think there are some things that he initiates. But sometimes things happen because I did them. Or he was convicting me and dealing with me, hey, don't do this, and I went ahead and did it anyway. I love what Pastor Aaron says. People say, well, there's a reason for everything. He said, yeah, sometimes the reason is we were stupid. That's always funnier to me than it is to you guys. And so sometimes stuff is self-inflicted. Sometimes it's not anything we've done, but it's because of the people we're connected to, the decisions they make, and because we love them, and we're called alongside them, but they have to grow too, or they have to learn too, or they're in a season where they have to learn to trust God, and so their pain is our pain. And sometimes things happen just because we're in a broken world. Sometimes things happen because in the middle of it, He's led us a certain direction and we experience this, and for whatever reason, we've got to go through this to get there. But in all of that, that we're called to live by faith, that in whatever season, listen, whatever season you're in now, the living by faith means, God, I trust you right now in this moment. Well, Pastor Rick, it would help me a whole lot more if I knew what he was going to do. Well, if you knew what he's going to do, you wouldn't have to trust him. But when you trust him in this moment, then that's living by faith. I trust you in this moment. I trust you as I'm struggling with my marriage. I trust you as I'm struggling with my kids. I trust you as I'm struggling with my health. I trust you as I'm struggling with my finances. I trust you as I'm struggling with direction. I trust you as I'm struggling with this disappointment or this hurt or this pain that's taken place in my life. I trust you in this moment. In this moment, I trust you. That's living by faith. Because if I continue to trust you, even when I thought the money was going to be here today, and I'm sitting in a dark house, this isn't the end of my story. I've been that guy. I trust you when I'm hawking stuff. I've shared our story when we were in New Mexico, and we had hawked everything that had any value with it whatsoever, except for our wedding rings. I took mine off, handed it to the guy. It still wasn't enough to pay our electric bill. And so I'd say to my wife, you talk about a day where you felt like a real man, how good I was taking care of my family. It'd be real tempting to say, I'm out. You have to make moment even in those moments to continue to trust him, because even though this is hard, and I don't fully understand all of it, I want to trust him in this moment and know that this part of the story isn't over. So the reason why faith matters, the reason why it matters is, first of all, it's how we access God's grace. We make a decision to trust Jesus. Even when I'm imperfect, even when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, I trust what Jesus has done and who he is, and I want to apply that to my life, then the grace of God is poured into my life. Become a child of God who's a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And I leave that place not just forgiven, but I leave that place in relationship as a child of God. And from that moment on, then God's called me to just live the rest of my life by faith. In the good seasons, in the hard seasons, in the bad seasons, in the seasons where I don't see any outcome that looks good, that I still make a decision and say, Lord, I'll do everything I can in this moment, but there's just some things that are beyond my ability, and so I trust you with the outcome. Now, let me just tell you something. I'm just like you. Standing up here and talking about it is way harder than when you're in the middle of it, living it. But I want to encourage you, not just challenge you, because you may be in a place where you can't be challenged. You're carrying all the weight in your life you can right now. But I want to encourage you not to give up. Not to give up. Just like the previous verse said, what you need now is patient endurance. Don't let go of it. And to make a decision that in this moment, just to even say to yourself sometimes, Lord, I don't get all this, but I trust you. I trust you with the outcome of this. So number two is this, is that we're called to live by faith. Now, because we're in a beginnings weekend, we're going to do something a little different in this moment. If you are a parent of a child that's getting baptized in kids' life today, I'm going to let you, you may get up and make your way over there. Also, if you're somebody that's going to get baptized in here, I'm going to let you get up and make your way back there, and you can begin to get ready right now. What we're trying to do is this in a way where people can still celebrate and we're aware and conscious of people's time. So thank you for bearing with us. That's a lot of people. I know, isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting? I love this. So let's go to, you're in Hebrews 10. Let's move to the next chapter, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. This is so cool. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So again, like faith is, like, how do you know that you can trust God? Well, my faith is evident. It's the evidence that God looks for. It's the evidence that I operate in. In other words, I can trust God because his word says I can, because my history with him says that I can. That's the evidence I have. My circumstances may not be the evidence. The things that are taking place right now are not the evidence, but my faith is. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed of God's command, that what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. So he said that people centuries ago, that they earned a good reputation by how they trusted God. One thing I love about the Old Testament is when I go back and I read some of the people that God used, I can identify with him. I look at some of the things that David did, and I'm like, man, God, he was an idiot too, and you still used him. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that you look at, and it just encourages me. But it was because even in his brokenness, he trusted God. Elijah, man, he felt sorry for himself. He had a pity party. He was telling God, like, just take my life. Just take me. Went and hid in a cave. What are you doing in here, Elijah? Oh, nobody's serving God but me. Everybody else has turned their back on you. I'm the only one that's left. Okay, come out of the cave. Let me talk to you. I identify with that, but they earned a good reputation not because they were perfect. They earned a good reputation because even in their imperfection, they trusted him. And it goes on to say this. It says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. In other words, there's something about it that he trusted God with it. Like, God, here's my best. It goes on to say, Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It does. The example he led, we still talk about that. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. So many of you have heard of Enoch. He was a guy that it says that he walked with God and then he was not because God took him because he, you know, he, and so he pleased him. He walked, he took him. And so it says this, for before he's taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible, ever say impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So when we live by faith, when we trust God, that's how we're called to live. It pleases God. You know, here's the thing is that, you know, sometimes when we're not trusting God, it can cause us to walk away from the church, walk away from our faith, walk away from godly relationships that God's given us. There's other times, you know, sometimes sin in our life takes place because we're not trusting God. You know, and we can talk about a number of things, but one of the things that takes place sometimes in our relationship with the opposite sex, sometimes we get into sexual sin because we're not trusting God. If we really trusted him and know that, hey, look, he's called me to be married, I want to wait for the right person, and understand this, that, you know, that you know, sex is one of those things, it's intended for inside the bounds of a marriage, then we'd be saying, like, I'm willing to wait because I trust him. When we make a decision to not trust him, we're not patiently trusting him, then it causes us to sin because I don't know. I don't know if this person will stay with me if I don't give them what they want sexually. And so as a result of that, we step across that line of trusting God and we enter into sin. And so, and not just in that area, but in so many other areas that sometimes that we enter into sin because we're not trusting God, we're not waiting on him. Sometimes our attitude can be affected. I know in my own life, and I don't think we're any different. Like I know this whenever I complain, I've stepped out of the area of trusting God and it's caused me to, you know, complaining is not okay. It's sin to step into a life of just complaining because for whatever reason I've chosen in this moment to not trust him with the outcome of what takes place. You know what trusting him in this moment looks like? Giving thanks for what I have. It may not be enough, but I have it. That's what faith looks like. Sometimes also we can get afraid. We can get in fear of, like, you know, that, you know, I'm gonna be left alone, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or just all of these things that impact us, and so they cause us to step away from trusting God. And when we do that and fear begins to lead us, then it takes us to a place where we're no longer trusting God. It takes us into, you know, bad decisions. But faith matters because it pleases God when we trust him. It pleases God when we trust him. As parents, we get that, right? We want our kids to trust us. Like if they didn't trust us, then we would have this issue that would bother us. Why don't they trust me? I remember several years ago, one of our kids, Daniel, was in a really hard place. And did I say his name? And so, you know, it was just one of those moments that, and I mean, and I was like trying to pull the truth out of him, and it just really wore me out. And I really feel like the Lord dealt with me that the reason why he's struggling being honest with you is because he doesn't trust you. Now, let me just say this. That didn't give him permission not to be honest. But it really resonated with me. I'm like, I want him to be able to trust me. And that doesn't mean that whatever he says, I'm going to be okay with. But to understand that even in my correction, that the thing that's unquestionable is my love for him. And so clearly, there was this element of him not trusting me in this. And so I wanted to work on that. And again, it didn't change the consequences of his decision. But even in his consequences, he realized, I'm even walking with you through this. Well, if it impacts me that way, this imperfect guy that does dumb things and makes mistakes and that kind of thing, imagine with our Heavenly Father who is perfect, being able to trust him, the impact that that has on our Father's heart. That we trust him, that it pleases him, that when we say, God, I don't fully get this. I'm not sure anything's going on. And so some of these things are kind of new to me. Some of these things, if I just look at them, can be scary to me. Some of these things can be upsetting to me. But when I look at you, the weight of those things begins to fade away because I trust you. That pleases our Father's heart. So faith, man, it pleases God when we trust him. It's that without trusting him, it's impossible to please him. Because when I do trust him, I'm willing to wait. When I do trust him, I'm willing to go the direction that seems more difficult. When I do trust him, I'm willing to be misunderstood. When I do trust him, I'm willing to stay in this hard place longer because I trust him. It pleases him. And this is just, I know for some, this is just kind of basic and foundational, but I think we need to hear it. And I also know there's some people of you in here that no matter how long you've known this, that talking about this is easy. Being in a hard place and living it is a greater challenge. And so, and again, I want you to know, I'm not challenging you to do this today. And the reason why I'm not challenging you is because some of you, you're under the weight of some things that you can't handle another challenge. But you know what I am doing? I'm encouraging you. You can do this. You can lean into God and just whisper to him, I trust you in this. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't even know what the next step or the next door of opportunity is. But I trust you in this moment. And if you've been in it long enough, you see some things that have taken place where God has come through and just reminded you, I see you. You're not in this alone. But faith is so important. It's where our relationship with him begins. And then it's how we're called to live our life in every moment, in every season. Hard times, good times, things I understand, things I can prevent, things I have no control over. I trust you. And that as I do this, it pleases him. I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.